being a servant. And then we also, the second lesson, we talked about ways of serving the Lord. I want to talk further tonight, an extension of that second lesson. How should our service to the Lord be? As we serve Him in those practical ways that we talked about last Sunday night, then how should our service to the Lord be? If you would remember, the Bible teaches us again by way of that parable of the kingdom of heaven was lacked. A man who called his servants to him, and he gave each one of them some talents. And so from that, we deduce that every person in the kingdom is a servant. But the question is, what kind of servant are we? And that parable pointed out to us that there were two that were good and faithful, one who did nothing with his talent was called wicked. So the choice is ours tonight. I trust that we will choose being that good and faithful servant. Well, tonight's lesson hopefully is designed to help us to be that good and faithful servants, because we must not just be a servant, but we got to be the right kind of servant. And I hope, again, this lesson tonight will help us to be that right kind of service. So, again, how should our service to the Lord be? Well, in chapter 12 of the book of Romans, we find many exhortations there pertaining to our daily Christian living. The chapter starts off talking about that we should be people who live transformed lives by renewing our minds, verses 1 and 2. Then when we get down verses 3 through 8, we find that we are to utilize what abilities we have as members of the body of Christ. Verses 9 through 10, we find that we are to love the brethren. We are to hate or abhor that which is evil. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 11, we find another exhortation, and that exhortation is that we need to be diligent servants of the Master. And the verse reads like this in Romans 12 and verse number 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, he says, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's how our service should be to the Lord. We are not to be a slothful people, but we are to be people that are fervent in spirit as we serve the Lord. When we look at what Paul says, looking at the verse again, he says, not slothful in business. The King James translation can be somewhat misleading if we take it at face value, business, the word business. But you'll see some other translations that will give it a different meaning. The word business in this verse comes from a Greek word, spoot, from which we get the word speed. And it denotes diligence. Talked about that again in the adult Bible class this morning. It denotes haste. It denotes earnestness. The idea then is that we should be diligent people in all that we do in our service to the Lord. So when he talks about not slothful in business, it's not actually saying that we are not to be slothful in, quote, business affairs, but whatever we do, whether it be, quote, business affairs, and whether it be spiritual affairs, if we can put it like that, whatever we do, We are not to be slothful in that, but we are to be people of diligence, people of earnestness, people of haste. In other words, we need to truly have our minds set on doing the Master's will and doing it as Ephesians chapter 9, and verse number 10 says, that whatsoever our hand findeth to do, that we are to do it with our might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, he says, do it with thy might. In other words, don't just do it, but do it with diligence. Do it with earnestness. Do it with speed, and haste. Do it in a fashion, in an attitude that the Lord knows that we are about, quote, business when we are doing his business. We should never take doing the will of the Lord and serving the Lord. We should never take it as a thing to play with, a thing to toy with. But is it something that we need to be involved in, because the Lord wants us to be involved in it, and he wants us to give our whole self to it? But we'll never do that unless we're people like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we are totally crucified with Christ, we recognize and realize then that Christ means everything to us. And when we are serving the Lord, we're going to put our whole self into it. So we're to be diligent. Our attitude, our disposition as we serve the Lord need to be one of diligence, need to be one of urgency, need to be one of earnestness. Again, it's nothing to play around with. It's serious business. So when Paul says to these Roman Christians, not slothful in business, but he says, be fervent in spirit. Even when it comes to our secular work, that is our 9 to 5, or our 8 to 4, or our 11 to 7, or our 7 to 7 job, whatever it is that we're doing, we're still to operate in it with a spirit of diligence. Look at what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 22 and 23. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That's that idea of having diligence and urgency of it. He says, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto who? Not unto men. So when we're working, again, in our secular occupation, we are not to work as though we are just working for man, but we are working for God. Recognizing again that it is God who has blessed us to have that job or to have that occupation. So we show our thankfulness and our praise to God for that job by doing the best job that we can. Talking about the word slothful, many times, sadly to say, if you're not careful, we'll be slothful in that job. We'll work when the man sees us. But if the man doesn't see us, then we slack off. We're talking about character in our Wednesday night Bible class. Lord's will, we'll be finishing up that lesson. That's what character is all about. You know, we're not just to work because somebody is watching us. We are to work because it's our duty to work. So whether the boss man is there or not, if we have a task to complete, we need to complete it with diligence. And so, how much more then should we not do the Lord's business? Because we know the Lord is never there watching us. He is always there watching us. So we are to work then, not as working to men, but we are to do it as though we are working for God. And in essence, we are. So much so again, in the Lord's work, we're to be diligent people. This idea is carried on when he talks about being steadfast in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. He says, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain. So indeed, we're to be diligent individuals. Why? Because one day we want to lay hold on eternal life, don't we? One day we want to receive that kingdom or those mansions that we talked about this morning that have been prepared for us. But unless we are diligent people, we're going to miss out on it. That's what happened again to the Hebrews that came out of Egyptian bondage. They stopped being diligent people. Therefore, they lost the promised land. Only two, of course, that left Egypt, that was over 20 years of age, made it to the promised land, and we know who they were. But it was because they were not people who were diligent. They were not engaging in the task, if you will, with earnestness. And so the Hebrew writer then encourages us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Let us do what? Labor. Therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Do we want to miss heaven? I know we don't. You want the same thing I want. I want to one day lay hold on eternal life. So we don't want to miss eternal life. So the Lord then requires us to be diligent workers. The Lord requires us not to be slothful in business, in our working, in our service, but we're to be diligent individuals. The Hebrew writer would also say in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 9 through 12, he said, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget our work, or your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his saints, in that you have ministered to the saints. You have served the saints and do minister or do serve. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that ye be not what? Slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promise. So, brothers and sisters, tonight, again, how do we serve the Lord? We serve the Lord with diligence. We are not slothful in serving the Lord, but we put our whole hearts into it in order again that we might be found without spot and blameless. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 points that out. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be what? Diligent. Don't be slothful, he said. He said, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Yes, we need to be diligent individuals, even in our handling of the word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. And even as we strive to keep our hearts pure, we are to be diligent. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Developing Christ-like characters, we are to be diligent individuals. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Even as we strive to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, we are to be diligent individuals. Not slothful, but we are to be diligent. And how can we truly be diligent? What helps us? What enhances our attempt to be diligent? I think the next thing that the Apostle Paul says to the Roman Christians ought to help us: fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. You see, this defines the enthusiasm or attitude of mind to have as we labor. We are to labor with a fervent spirit. Some are diligent, but they do it begrudgingly. They're diligent into it, or they are putting their heart into it, but they are putting their heart into it because they know the Lord requires of them to do that, but they really don't want to do it. Can that truly be done? I believe it can. Because when Paul told the Corinthian Christians how to give, he used the same scenario of giving that one can give grudgingly. They can do what the Lord say, but they can do it grudgingly. So when he gave the instruction for giving, He said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7. He says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not what? Grudgingly. Why is that phrase in there, not grudgingly? Because one can give grudgingly. I'm giving it, but I really don't want to give it. Oh, yes, I know I should give this, but I really don't want to do it. So we know we should be diligent workers in the kingdom of the Lord, but we really don't want to do it. And if we really don't want to do it, we might as well not do it because we won't get any spiritual credit for it. So then we are to do it not grudgingly. So we are to be fervent in spirit as we labor in the kingdom of the Lord. Again, Colossians 3:23 says it again. We've already referred to it, but again it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And then he says, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know what ought to keep us diligent people? You know what ought to keep us fervent people? Is because we are serving the Lord. Now, if we were serving man, that'd be a different story. But we're serving the Lord. So that ought to keep us on fire, keep us motivated. Matter of fact, that's the motivation that should be behind every enthusiastic labor that we do in the kingdom of the Lord. We are motivated by the fact that it is the Lord we serve. Again, even in our secular work, it's the Lord we serve. Paul said to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 5 through 8. Notice what he says. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasing, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from what? Your heart, of the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So when we're working, again, on our 9 to 5, we're working unto the Lord. So if we are then to be people who are fervent in spirit, even on our quote, secular job, how much more should we be fervent in spirit in our spiritual work? But what is too often the case? Sometimes we are more fervent in spirit in the secular work because we're going to get a paycheck from right here and now from that than we are in the spiritual work. Physical necessities often prompts diligence in our secular job. Things that we're interested in will also prompt enthusiasm in things that we're interested in, like hobbies or whatever the case may be. But on the other hand, when we're doing the Lord's work, the Lord's business, the spiritual work of the kingdom, many times slothfulness will set in. Here are some ways that slothfulness can set in. Some will work 40 plus hours a week for physical needs, then find it hard to spend a few hours a week in worship and Bible study. About 4 hours is basically what we spend together in Bible study and worship a week. And sometimes people find it hard to devote themselves to those 4 hours a week. But when they are called upon to work out there, anybody want to volunteer for overtime? And go up. Why? Because they're enthusiastic about that. Why not show the same enthusiasm for serving the Lord? Some will watch TV an average of 14 hours per week, but can't find 3 hours to read the Bible. Some will take courses at night to improve their job skills, but aren't willing to attend gospel meetings and Bible studies. And, I come and punch my ticket on Sunday morning. That's enough for me. I don't need any more biblical education. Some can learn the stats for their favorite team, player by player. They can tell you how many yards their favorite football player gained, but they can't seem to memorize the scripture. I'm not saying we got to memorize the whole Bible, But they'll say that, I can't remember that. I can't learn that. They can learn any song that's out there on the chart. They can learn that. But they can't learn the scripture. Some will even let or even encourage their children to even miss services for a sports event or a school function. But they won't do it vice versa. They won't miss the school function for a church function. Isn't that amazing? Somebody got things out of kilter. We need to realize what is most important. Some will make their children even brush their teeth, make their bed, wash their dishes, and on. But when it comes to attending church service, if little Johnny don't want to go, well, that's an excuse for me to stay at home and keep little Johnny because he don't want to go. I'm trying to show us how we can be slothful in the Lord's work. Well, what's the consequences of such slothfulness? Pretty soon, an apathetic attitude and service to the Lord will set in. You know what apathy is? We don't care anymore. It doesn't faze us at all. When we get to that point, the Lord has little use for us because we can't do him very much good in his work. How do you think the Lord feels about this? Well, look at what Jesus says. He taught those who would put their personal needs above the needs of the master. He said that you won't even taste of any of his supper. Go and read that story in the book of Luke chapter 14. You would recall there how the invitation was given to these three individuals. But each time they made an excuse, they put their personal needs above the needs of the one who invited them. And so the statement was made, that a command was given to go out and to invite all those in the hedges and the highways that my house may be filled. But then he says, you go and tell them that were invited, you won't even taste of my supper. The Lord doesn't like it when we don't give him the service that he desires. So I say to us again tonight, let's not fall into the wrath of God. Again, you remember the church at Laodicea. They were lukewarm. They had become apathetic. And the Lord condemned them. And he says, you need to repent. So I say to us again tonight then, as we close, that we need to examine ourselves honestly. And we need to come to terms with ourselves whether we are really serving the Lord in the way he desires for us to serve him. Not just serve him, but serve him in the way that he desires for us to serve him. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28 where it says that we should serve the Lord acceptably, which means we can serve him, but we can also serve him unacceptably. In order to serve the Lord acceptably, we got to serve him the way he desires for us. So again, Paul says to these Roman Christians, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What's our attitude tonight? If there are changes that we need to make in our lives, let's do it before it's everlasting and eternally too late. And if you're here tonight and you have not begun to serve the Lord, I want to encourage you to do that by becoming a Christian. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your past sins. Make that confession that you do believe that he is the Christ. And be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Let the Lord add you to his church. You would then become a servant of the Lord. And then strive to serve him acceptably. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit as you serve the Lord. You need to come tonight. I encourage you to do that right now while we stand, while we sing.
What will you do with Jesus? What will you do? Jesus, my Lord.
Would you come if you need to?
And I don't need.
what you come, what you come.
Jesus is coming.